Is it working already? It is work. Oh, Hare Krishna. It looks like Christmas, but it is not. This is installation, these things are called, which has picked up the theme of our new podcast, Above the Clouds. And it is showing you the wonderful experience which happens when someone can cross through the clouds of Maya and come to the level of Krishna consciousness, where all of a sudden one is above the clouds, one sees the Krishna sun, and one is in the friendly sky. Now, one of you is very much insistent to be in the picture also. No. So I can't say that I'm always above the clouds. I am not. When Prabhupada is merciful to me and Krishna is merciful, then I have these Krishna conscious moments. But I nevertheless thank you very, very much for having made such a wonderful installation. And together with this installation, there is a text which we will post later to you, which illustrates the concept of Srila Prabhupada, that how Krishna consciousness brings us above the clouds of Maya, where we find shelter under Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Also, before I start with my lecture, I want to briefly say that yesterday I saw Narayani, and maybe who was helping you, Nandi Mukhi maybe, or Tatiana, yes, a few devotees making a gallery of photos which showed my 50 years in Krishna consciousness, starting from the time when I was still making my first contact with the devotees and going with them on Sankirtan, where we sang and danced, and then going through the whole life. And I explained to the devotees here in Goloka Dham that when one sees a life in Krishna service, a life in Prabhupada's service in form of pictures, one becomes immediately aware that this life which one leads is another life. It's not the life which one would lead if one would have remained in material consciousness. It's not the life which one would lead if one would have remained a kami, who's just acting out a karmic script that is given to him at the time of his birth. No, the life in Krishna consciousness is entirely different. It's a life where all of a sudden Krishna, through his pure devotee, picks you up and then gives you an entirely different life, an entirely different script. Old script goes and a new script comes. But the problem which we have is we sometimes remember the old script and fall back in the old script. So then we are mixed up devotees. We are not acting on the spiritual platform, but we are acting under the influence of material desires and so on. So yes, so this is what happened. It would be nice, maybe later Ekanti or our technical crew can just give you a little tour with the camera through these photos. They are amazing photos. And you could see. But now I want to invite you very much for this program of the Vyasa Puja. This program, as you know, is meant to glorify Krishna, and it is meant to glorify the Guru Parampara. It is not just about one person, Satchinandan Swami, but it is a program where we glorify much more than the person, that is the Parampara and Krishna, by whose mercy we are all sitting here or following this program. So I have chosen a text, but maybe I will just sing it to you and read to you the translation. And I want to also say, I'm very happy about the devotees who are here in the temple room. They are only devotees from our community, and servants, direct servants of the community have also come. But it is because of the present situation still, our main group are all of you who sit in the internet. But please forgive me, I sometimes forget to look into the camera. I have to get used to speaking to both audiences. So please join me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I just get a sign that Radhika Ranjan should announce this. Did I understand the sign properly? I'm very sorry. Acha, acha. So now we are in the family. It's a little spontaneous. So I hear there is something coming up. May I just remind you, someone always stands in the... Uh-huh, good. I understand.
A little surprised that we were maybe 2-3 steps ahead, but nonetheless, we are with the family, as Guru Maharaj said, so it's nice that we are fluid and allow things to move in a flowing way, like a river. Yesterday, we made an announcement that please, you can collect some paraphernalia to perform the Guru Puja at home. And I think this is happening also in Gaur.
So we
will observe there as well.
Thank you. So you can all stand up.
Now
will be the
Puja. Haribo, Haribo, everyone. And I just want to tell you in the who are online now, and also those who look later, what we experience here in the temple room. It is such a good atmosphere. And I think it comes because we are entering the space or the room of experience which is provided by this wonderful tradition which Srila Prabhupada has given us, this Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. And we are doing things, you know, the ceremony, singing, aarti, everything, because it has been given to us and we are following it in good faith that this is a way to connect with Lord Krishna over the parampara, Prabhupada and so on. So atmosphere is very good, and I really thank the technical team that they are trying to navigate between this reality and the reality of all of you there watching on the computer. We are new in this. There will be some hitches, some hiccups, but we will try our best and in this way have a wonderful festival that brings us closer to Krishna, really, because that's the whole purpose. In looking for a nice verse that could address a little bit the meaning of the guru or the experience of the guru-disciple relationship, I came about this verse 3:7:19. I knew about it since long, but I will share this now with you. Let me just adjust the microphone a little bit. Yes, like this. We will again start. Please center yourself a little bit. Forget the day. Forget the various things and just focus. We are wanting now to come closer to Krishna through hearing the Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 I will just sing the verse and then read the translation. Yat sevaya bhagavata kuta. Okay. Kutastasya madhudvishaha. Kutastasya madhudvishaha. Ratiraso bhavet tivra. Ratiraso bhavet tivra. Padayo vyasanadana. No vyasanadana. I will go quickly to the verse. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distress. So, that purport by Srila Prabhupada, the association of a bona fide spiritual master like the sage Maitreya can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The Lord is the enemy of the Madhu demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the suffering of his pure devotees. The word Rati Rasa is significant in this verse. Service to the Lord is rendered in different transcendental mellows. Relationships, neutral, active, friendly, parental, and nuptial. A living entity in the liberated position of transcendental service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above-mentioned mellows, and when one is engaged in transcendental loving service to the Lord, one's service attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. So one doesn't want to serve the Maya any longer. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, Raso varyam raso pyasya param drishtva nivatate. Let me give you the context in which this verse was spoken. Vidura had asked his spiritual master Maitreya many questions about the living entity, you know, and the Lord. His main questions was, how does the pure soul become engaged in ignorance? How is it possible that we who are full of bliss and knowledge and eternal come under the control of Maya, of ignorance? That was one of his questions. But then he had a second question. Even though we are under the control of Maya, Krishna is right here as the Paramatma. So how is it possible that in the presence of the Lord who is there in the heart, we experience the suffering of illusions? These were two of the main questions which Vidura had asked. And Maitreya Muni had answered his questions in a very convincing way. The questions were solved. Vidura had no more doubts, really. However, as he was thinking about his own life, he had been a minister, you know, in the government of Hastinapur, and he had been chased out, he had been dismissed, he had been kicked out of the government. So as he was, and he must have felt some, no one likes to be kicked out of his position. So he said, I'm happy with your answer. However, even though I have understood everything, Maya is still very strong. Don't we have all this experience? We have heard a lot of philosophy. We are convinced, otherwise we wouldn't stay on the path. But sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the influence of Maya. Am I the only one who feels that? No. We this is the experience. So, and he expressed his impression. Yes, I know the things, but I'm still unhappy. I think there are only two people who can be happy. The absolute fool, who doesn't know anything, who is just drinking and drink. What is it? Drink, dance, and be merry, and be happy. Someone who's in really totally overwhelmed with Maya. He can feel something like happiness, and the other one who is free from suffering, who's always happy, is the Paramahansa, the person who is absolutely liberated from material existence. But those who are in between, they suffer. I think he said something very honest, something which is our situation. We are no longer total fools. We cannot enjoy in material life like materialists. It's not possible for us. It's not our life. But we are not yet self-realized, so we are somewhere in between. And these in between, when you are in between a situation, you always suffer. There's always conflict when you are neither nor, when you are not a devotee. And when you're not a pure devotee, an advanced devotee, you're also not a materialist, then... Vidura put it in one sentence. I'm convinced that this material manifestation, that the material life is without substance. Yes, I know there is no substance. But can you tell me how I will realize that I'm an eternal soul and full of bliss and full of knowledge? Maitreya Muni, what is it that brings me there? And then Vidura has an idea, and he's after all, you know, Vidura is asking these questions as if he didn't know, but he's a very dear devotee of Krishna. So then he says the solution. He says, I think by serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy. You know, knowledge without ecstasy is not bhakti. That's jnana. That's not helping us very much. We must know and we must feel it, what we know. We must feel the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So he says, I think I can get that by the service of the spiritual master. Then I will develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon. Madhu demon is someone who gives trouble to the devotees. Very specifically, he gives doubts, you know. But when I do this service to the spiritual master, I will develop ecstasy in the service of Krishna, and my material distresses will be vanquished. This is very nice text, I think. So by service to the spiritual master, one can develop these transcendental ecstasies in the Lord's service in various relationships. You, as Prabhupada says, when you do this service, all of a sudden you will feel, wow, I'm feeling so attracted to serve like this. And some of you feel that already. They are on their way and they are cultivating in their spiritual life a certain relationship in a certain way. Here in Mahaprabhu's revelation, we feel very much attracted to the way Krishna served in Vrindavan. No? Yes. So, good. Srila Prabhupada says, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, how you can obtain the service to the spiritual master? It is actually attained by mercy. That's why I felt so transcendentally uplifted when this photo gallery was made of the services, some of the services which I have done in these 50 years. Yes, I'm today 50 years old. because I could see this was possible by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. It was not in any other way possible. My dear devotees, the point I want to wish to make here is, it's not enough to know something. It's also not enough to believe in something. You have to experience it to be totally convinced. This bhakti is a pure experience-oriented path. That really comes when you are in contact with someone who is pure, who is above the clouds, so to say, and who is giving that shakti to you when you serve him. Now I want to be very clear. I don't think I'm above the clouds, nor is that, it's not a fact. But I think I can I have love for Prabhupada, and I serve him with enthusiasm, and I like it. It's my life. And in this way, I can connect others with this, with a pure soul. So I would like to give just two little memories from our own spiritual life, how I experienced such blissful emotions when I was serving Srila Prabhupada. It was when Srila Prabhupada arrived in the Frankfurt airport. His machine was just had just landed, and we somehow knew that that is his machine in which he comes. And then we all, not all of us, but I was amongst the group, we ran over the airport to the airplane. You don't do this. This is not safe. But it's just like on Jamashtami, we had tried to keep all the rules for you know, 1.50 meter social distancing. And then the curtain goes up of Radha Madan Mohan, and everyone runs to the lotus feet of the deities. You can't stop a devotee who's attracted. So in the same way, we ran over the airfield to the airplane. I remember Prabhupada came out of the airplane on steps, and then was it on steps or maybe there was a bus in between? I do not know very clearly, but I was so blissful, and I jumped over all fences and all rules, and I didn't want to do it. It was not that I had planned to do something out of protest of the airport regulations. No, I forgot. I was so happy. You can see on the photo gallery, there is one photo which Narayani and her helpers have posted there, have put there, and I'm there carrying Prabhupada's suitcase on the airport, and you can see I'm totally, as you say in our language, blissed out, totally blissed out. I felt the something like really a movement in my psychology, which I did not know before. I mean, I had made a few experiences of this. I recognized it. It was just a spiritual emotion of total above the clouds, totally. We had a kirtan at that time. The Frankfurt airport had given us a room for VIPs, and we have put a Vyasa son there, and we welcomed Prabhupada in the airport on the Vyasa san, and there was a foot washing ceremony, and I still remember there was this container of water, and I took some water and I went all over the airport and sprinkled people with the water. Imagine, you are a traveler, you come from an international flight, all of a sudden you see a monk before you, dressed in monk garbs, and he splashes with a happy smile water into your face. The people ask me, what is that? And I said, nectar, abhishek. I was so... You know, now we may say, what a fool this young Sachinanda Swami, that's not good preaching. I agree, it's not good preaching. But I want to talk about something else. This is not about preaching. I want to say what I felt in the service of Srila Prabhupada and how I was immediately, moved to another dimension of human behavior, if you so want. I know those who are doubters will say, yes, you became pagal. Pagal means crazy. But it was not the experience. It was a different experience. I know what it means to be pagal and so on. I want to give another example. I was... once very fortunate to serve Prabhupada directly, means physically, and I massaged his lotus feet. And when I did this, I had an experience which I have, which is not uncommon when you meet such a pure devotee. I saw the room first transforming into energy. That is the forms, you know, of the room, the walls of the room. There was a table, a low table in the room. I perceived it differently. I perceived it as energy, and then that energy dissolved, and I saw only light for quite some time. I have done some investigations in comparative religions, and it is a common experience where of people who have ecstasy lights like states in their mind, or who have peak moments in their consciousness, that's how you call it, the reality and the way they see things does change all of a sudden, and they see things in a, the people would say in a mystical way, but I would say in a spiritual way or Krishna conscious way. That was also the first time I saw Prabhupada. I had this overwhelming experience that the airport turned into pure light. It was overwhelming. I totally lost my balance and inner balance. I just was totally overwhelmed and cried. I wouldn't like to give you a third experience. When I served Srila Prabhupada, there was a time of 5 years where I distributed his books on the street. That is, I had a book bag with me where I had Bhagavad Gita's, Ishopanishads, and I think teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And I would approach people, I would politely ask them if they would have a minute, and I would present the books to them and say if they would like, they can. They don't need to go to the book shop, they can get it for me directly. And in this way, I would distribute books. This was the most difficult service for me, which I ever did, because I'm not accustomed to approach people on my own. I'm not such a great communicator, I guess. It is very much against my nature, but I did it to serve Prabhupada. I just really jumped over my own shadows, you say in German language. You go against your nature. And I distributed this literature. And we were at that time very poor. Very poor. I mean, very poor. We had just enough Lakshmi, enough money to take care of the benzene that we could drive and eat very poor food, very poor, like we would live on peanuts and raisins because we were so poor. We had mass quantities of this, you know, we could purchase. Was not very healthy. And I must also say, one of these years I lived only by begging. I went to the houses of people, knocked at the door and said, I'm hungry. Can you please give something which I can eat? I don't want money. I need something to eat. And they gave generously. I was not suffering in that year from hunger. Little hunger in the morning, but not heavy hunger. So I do remember in the morning we were sleeping in the van, and in the morning we took our shower. And if I think about it, it's almost inconceivable for me to do this now, but we had for each one a bucket of water, and the bucket was covered with ice. Imagine, we were like monks in the Himalaya mountains high up there, and we took the bucket out. We had to crack through the ice to get to the water, and then at that time we were young people, so but I remember when I saw the other, there was a cloud of a mist, you know, fog in the morning, you know. Is it clear what I want to express? When you put water on your body and it's really cold out there and your body is still warm from the sleeping bag, then the water evaporates and it becomes something like a fog or mist. Here, just think about it. Here's a person who has never suffered for lack of money. He was surrounded with comforts. And he, this person, surrenders to the service of Srila Prabhupada. And he goes through these things which are really like austerities which the yogis do high up in the Himalayas. He acts according, he is totally out of his comfort zone most of the time, you know, if not all of the time, but most of the time. Why is he able to do it? And why does he feel so much happiness inside? That even as an old man whose body is coming close to 70 years, he's thinking, this was the best time of my life. Why? What is going on? I know if I would ask this question to psychologists, I know what some of the answers. Of course, there are now new strands of psychology who would agree with me also. But I will tell you the answer. I did this as service to Prabhupada. And doing it, I received so much happiness. Ecstasy, the verse says here. What is the Sanskrit which is used here? Let us stay with the word ecstasy. It is not the highest ecstasy. I'm speaking of an exalted state of consciousness, which is not your normal consciousness. No, this is the answer. I felt Prabhupada's encouragement. I still remember whenever I took a cold shower in the morning, which was so much against my nature. I don't, now I take the cold shower after I've taken the hot shower. I take as long as possible because it's really healthy, but not only cold, that I couldn't. But I would say, Prabhupada, I'm doing this for you. I'm a brahmachari. I'm meant to be a student who does austerities. This is my path. I'm doing it for you. And then I could do it. So let us now go to Prabhupada. So if Prabhupada would be in this, would listen to this lecture, which I think he does, but that's another subject. If Prabhupada would hear that his disciples say, I felt so much happiness in serving you, what would he say? What would he say? Did he ever say something about it? And yes, he did say something. He addressed this point. It was on a morning walk in Mayapur. He was surrounded by his GBC managers and was going down to the Ganga, and they were talking about projects, the needs for the project, you know, and Prabhupada built many projects, farm communities, etc., many, many things. And then, after some time, the managers, the GBC men, thought, this is now our opportunity to talk also about the difficulties which we experience with various devotees who are not cooperating. And they began to complain about this devotee, that devotee, that devotee, that devotee. After some time of listening to these managers, they were his trusted managers, Prabhupada stopped. He turned around and he looked at those who had come for his morning walk, maybe 15 to 20 persons. And he said, "You have all come to complain. Only I have come to encourage." And then he said it again, second time. "You all have come to complain. Only I have come to encourage." As we would say in Hamburg German, "Das saß echt." You know, or in English, that his point struck home. You know, and even those who heard about it, what Prabhupada said. I remember I heard it only a few months before. I was not aware that he said this, but I think in this one sentence you can find the message or the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and for that matter the mission of any sincere spiritual person. Yes, the world is misery. Yes, there are problems of, it's so difficult to cooperate and to somehow be successful, that our complicated psychologies meet. And yes, there is disagreement and misunderstanding and feelings of being hurt or you know, all these things. There's a lot of discouragement in this world, but Prabhupada has come to give encouragement. And I think a devotee should also learn this. Why talk about the things which do not go right? Why not talk about the things which go right? Why not talk about the things which which are where we do not agree so much? Why not talk more about the things where we agree? Maybe the points of disagreement will disappear gradually. No? Why not concentrate on what works and not on what doesn't work? No? This is a very good, whatever you concentrate on, my dear devotees, that you will give strength and that will become bigger. If you concentrate on good things, even in personal interactions. "Oh yes, I like, this is good. Oh, how nice you did this thing." Then you will strengthen that and help the person to build that up, that good thing, and not get stuck in the things which are problematic. "You all have come to complain. Only I have come to encourage." This is a very, very nice point of Srila Prabhupada. And that's because he had this mission. He was sometimes so strong. Oh, sometimes you were afraid to come to him because he was just chastising and correcting things. And it was so intense. I mean, I remember I once was hiding before Prabhupada because I didn't want to confront the burning volcano. I was afraid. But we all knew in our hearts that he did this to help us move forward. Just like our Sri Radhe has said, sometimes the spiritual master may cut, but it's never to kill. It's to cure, or I don't know, she put it so beautifully. I will read the text later. But it's never to kill. It's for our good. That is the idea. So I would like to convince you of this point, not philosophically, but experientially. I would like to let a few God brothers describe their experience with this becoming ecstatic in devotional service. There was one devotee called Sorab. He has left his body by now. He is the architect of the Bombay Temple and the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. You know these very beautiful buildings. and he really didn't have much experience to design such buildings. He was an architect for other types of buildings, you know, simple buildings, simple apartments and so on. So Prabhupada had told him, oh, you're an architect, you should develop the Juhu temple. And so Rob said, but Prabhupada, I can't do this. So Prabhupada said, no, don't worry, it will work. So then Surab, I will read to you from Giriraj Maharaj's excellent book, I'll Build You a Temple. Surab drew for 2 or 3 days. Every few hours or so, Prabhupada would come out of his room, look over Surab's shoulder and say, that's nice, that's nice. Surab was working from pictures of other temples, of Vrindavan's new Govindaji temple. And he was drawing, it took inspiration from different angles and perspectives. He says, I had a sort of Italian-Indian mix of style, which Prabhupada liked. So he later said, the European and the Indian together made a sort of international looking. So Surab was... He says about his experience, there was something that gave me the energy, he remembered, something that allowed me to do this work that normally I probably wouldn't have been able to do. This is empowerment, my dear devotees. This is something more than theoretical knowledge. It's the spiritual Shakti which comes into you and works through you. This is blissful. There is another devotee, and then I will stop with this point. Yes, it is one devotee, Manasatita from Italy. I also knew him, but I have not seen him. Maybe he has also left his body. He commented, we were living in bad conditions, but inside our little hut, we were very happy because Prabhupada was there. And we were safe from materialistic life. When he was present, he would give lectures 2 times a day, and we would see him all day long. From the Brahmachari ashram, I could see him chanting his rounds. We didn't care that we were sleeping on the ground or in a place where rain came in. We were very happy, really very happy. Whenever I remember those days, I cry. This is the experience. And I have seen in our movement disciples who are connected with their spiritual master. I've seen many disciples. They can do extraordinary things. You just go like, "Woo! How is it possible?" And when you ask them, you say, it's not my own doing. It's something which came. Look at this machine. I can ask the machine, make music, make music, make music, my dear machine. It cannot do it. If the machine would talk to itself, I want to make music, I want to make music, I want to make music, it can't make music. But when another energy comes in, there it is, the music of a tambura. Now I will do something which is very cruel. I will switch off that energy. We often do this in our own life. We switch off the current, the connection. Not to Srila Prabhupada, to Krishna, and then we suffer. Then we come again under the clouds of our mind, and then we are very sad, and we try to look for the origins. Maybe I have a health problem. Maybe I don't eat enough. Maybe I don't have enough iron in my blood. Maybe I need to be more creative. Maybe I should do what Oprah Winfrey and Tony Robbins recommend, a gratitude diary. Maybe I should, there are very interesting things, you know. Maybe I should buy a Healy. Healy is good, but I'm just saying. The misery which starts when you cut off the spiritual energy cannot be cured with material energy. It doesn't work. It has to be cured with spiritual energy. And this is, this I think we all feel that it is right. We know that it is right. But because we are still conditioned living entities, we are struggling sometimes. We are not always in that connection. In Calcutta, in the year 73, Prabhupada spoke about when the guru-disciple relationship works. He spoke about the duty of the guru and the duty of the disciple. And I would like to read this to you. It's very brief. It's only a sentence. What is the duty of the spiritual master? And then he also asked, and what is the duty of the disciple? And he gave this answer. The duty of the spiritual master is to serve Krishna. And the duty of the disciple is to assist. Assist means to help the spiritual master. And in this way, both are serving Krishna. That's the end of the quote, but I would like to say, this relationship, my dear devotees, this is all about service to Krishna. It's all about serving together Krishna. That's the idea. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, 12th chapter, verse 1, if you wish to look it up, there are three qualities which are good for a spirit disciple to develop. Dasavat, it's a humble service attitude. Yeah. Dasavat, humility. Nichaha is submissively, it means, Nicha means you put yourself a little under. You never, you don't want to argue or want to quarrel and so on. And sudrita means firmly fixed in a friendship with him. This gives me a good opportunity to say why I am not accepting many disciples. I think there needs to be something like a friendship, a friendly feeling, so that this relationship works. Formal relationships, I feel, at least with me, don't work over a long time. I acknowledge that with other spiritual masters, formal relationships work excellently. I acknowledge. I'm not saying this as a general rule, but the way I'm wired, I have seen in my life, I need to know the disciples to guide them properly. So, and they need to feel some friendship. Oh yes, we like him. And so on. And then these are three qualities which are given. Humility, a submissive attitude, and firmly fixed in friendship with him. Let me come to the end of this little class, because after all, it is. Do you remember yesterday I gave an example? If you want to have Krishna, it's good to go to his devotees. And I gave the example, if you want to have the lotus honey, a very rare honey, which comes from the lotus flower, we cannot go to the lotus flower to get the honey out. It's not, we can't extract it. We need to the bees. There may be a beehive 30 meters next to them, and then we go to the bees and get our honey from there. So in the same way, we want to go to the Lord. We discuss with devotees, because when you have a devotee there, a bhakta means there will be bhakti, and when bhakti is there, Bhagavan will be there. Or when in English, when a devotee is there, he will engage in the process of devotional service to Krishna. And that will attract Krishna. Then you can get the honey of Krishna's lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Very nice points. So, I think I put this verse in tomorrow's lecture, because the point is clear, but I want to now end this class, and I want to say something which comes really from my heart. My dear disciples, I am also a disciple. I know and I understand that it is not always easy to go this path of discipline, to go this path of spiritual life, because the mind is also there. Our conditioned nature is also there. I do know. And I also do know that our minds sometimes stay more with negative things, with pain and disappointment, than with positive things. Bad is unfortunately in this world stronger than good, very often. Let me explain to you. I mean it not in an absolute way. I mean it the way we perceive it. Imagine you have a whole day, there are nice things happening, and you have one very intense encounter with someone where the person acts in a unrational way, and it really goes to your heart. What do you take with you in your bed when you sleep? The nice things or that bad thing? There is a this has been investigated in many studies, many good studies, and they say because bad has such a bad impact heißt eine Wirkung auf uns. It gets in our heart. It's like a lens. We don't speak of a lens of happiness. You know, we speak of a lens piercing words, you know. And bad, also the bad memories, they stay longer with you. They are more impactful. It means more intense, and they stay longer. So therefore, I have seen that devotees who have bad experiences in Krishna consciousness, sometimes they forget all the good experiences and leave Krishna consciousness. I have seen some of my disciples, some have also this experience. Something went wrong with their in relationship to other devotees. Something went wrong with projects. Something went wrong also in our communication. We could not so clearly communicate, we tried our best, but sometimes these disciples felt I misunderstood them, and I properly did in details. And this but I think we should stop this type of things. There are ways to do it. There are ways to train your mind that I yesterday had a very enlightening conversation for me Now, I spoke with one devotee, and I said, so how is this project doing? And the devotee said, well, if you look from this perspective, there are not yet results. But if you look from that perspective, there are very good results. And I went and I thought about it, and I thought, yes, yes. If I look, for instance, I have also something here in the root, in the root of the teeth. I do know what is. It's here, and the pain. And sometimes I think, ah, the pain. But then I think, so many good things are there. No, you are celebrating birthday. You will get a present, most probably, of a cake, most probably, and so on. One can train his mind and dwell on this. Or the best training is not these small things, but to think, some bad karma is going away from you with this pain. No problem. That karma is good. That the karma. Let it all go. Let it all go. Let it all go. And I'm so happy that I'm an eternal soul. I'm part and parcel of Krishna. So the same thing with ISKCON. You can think, oh, this didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. But why don't you see all the things which worked? And which work. And that is a good way to learn to become above the clouds. I mean, I have to keep on referring to this decoration because it is just so, so nice. You must agree, this is amazing. In a way, it looks a little like the Weihnachtsmann, nicht? The Christmas, but no, it's a cloud. Good. So I have ended here my little class. I lost the whole point. I lost the whole point. My point why I started on this route, saying I understand that it's sometimes not so easy for a disciple. We go through life and we go through our karma and all this, and we try to purify our heart, but it doesn't go as fast as we want and so on. But I would like to encourage you. It really works. When you celebrate your 50th day of devotional service, you will be a happy old man. Really. Prabhupada said, after 50 years, you can expect miracles, because it takes some time to create the new human being, the new person. I mean, I'm not the best example, really. I'm still, for me, it may take a little longer, but I'm feeling also something. And I want to encourage you, and I want to thank you also for your service. I understand your struggles. I understand what it feels like. You, I'm also a disciple. I am also on this path, and I want to really request you to continue to be such nice disciples, to be there in my life. It's a great, great, great enrichment. It enriches me in all aspects. My life without you would be boring. Boring is maybe not the word. It would lack. That would be, what would I have done if I would not have known Shrishtikata and Gaura Bhavani? I'm just referring to them because they did the arati like Brahmins who only do Brahminical pujas from morning till evening. It was so absolutely correct and and so on. I singled the two out. It refers to all of you. So I'm very grateful, and I want to encourage you, keep on going strong. Don't give up. Great things are waiting for all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Vadanwan ki jai. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Hari Bo. Hari Bo. So Radhika Ranjan.
Thank you so much. for your address.